It was a mighty expedition. But subhanAllah, Allah tells us that what saved the Sahaba that day was their love to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a very hot day and they didn't have water and their food was few. But you know what they did? As the scholars of Seerah teach us, what did they do? They took one date and they would suck on the date and give it to the next companion. They would only taste from the sugars and the sweetness of the date and follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being selfless, because they knew this was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though they were dehydrated, even though they were hungry, they only sucked the date and gave it to the next person. Even though their bellies, their desires, their self, shaitan, everything was saying, eat that date, they were upon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was that piety and love for the sunnah and love for that which Allah loves that Allah showered upon them an opening. Inshallah, we'll discuss this when we discuss the battle of Tabuk. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance and we seek His guidance, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the consequences of our evil deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, then none can guide. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and my dear brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to episode 2 of season 3 of Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. MashaAllah, it's nice to see so many more youth present in the masjid today. I think this idea of giving out phones and tablets and segways, it helps encourage, alhamdulillah. So Masjid Umar, please take note, these things work, right? You got to do more of it. Brothers and sisters, I received some questions yesterday pertaining to what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we introduced season 3 and then we began discussing the virtues of the Muhajirun, because we intend to take 3 lessons as we discussed yesterday attached to the Hijrah. Firstly, the virtues of the Muhajirun, because they are called Muhajirun because of the Hijrah. Secondly, the Hijri calendar or the Islamic calendar, which is based on the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thirdly, the phenomenon known as the Makki and Madani surah. So we started off discussing the virtues of the Muhajirun. So I have some questions here. Firstly, how do I make my going to school for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a good question, and this means, alhamdulillah, that people are listening. Some people were surprised by this, because a lot of people attach building Jannah or earning rewards to Salah and fasting and going for Hajj and giving Zakah, or being kind to your parents, looking after the direct commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, as I said yesterday, when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then you have a potential that other people don't have. And that potential is to make your everyday living a means of building your Jannah. Yes. Your everyday living, the mundane actions of your life, whether it's education, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's going to work, whether it's, whatever it may be, you have the opportunity to make it for the sake of Allah. Even your sleeping, you have the opportunity to make it for the sake of Allah. But how? By making Allah the purpose behind why you do it. And the byproduct of that which you do will be a result always. When you have a business, everyone else runs a business for profit, but a Muslim runs a business for the sake of Allah, and the result of it will be a profit, because that's the result of having a business. If you have a business and you're not making a profit, then you better just check yourself, because it might be that you're running a charity. There's a difference between charity and a business, right? So a Muslim makes it for the sake of Allah. If you're going to school, for example, you say, Ya Allah, I'm going to school to represent the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular field, for example. Right? In the field that I want to study, I want to represent the Ummah. This is my purpose. I want to be of service to Islam and the Muslims. Now you've made your objective more noble. You've made it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus going to school becomes an ibadah. Your homework becomes an act of worship. Writing exams becomes a Jannah building exercise. Imagine, you know, who will fear writing exams if you know that by me writing exams, it's as if I'm digging my streams in Jannah. It's beautiful, right? Even when you go to work, make the purpose Allah, that Ya Allah, I'm going to work to earn halal sustenance because you commanded me to earn halal sustenance. And to earn that sustenance which will allow me to go for Hajj, which will allow me to give sadaqah and help the poor, which is beloved to you. That is a higher objective. That is a higher objective. And wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, when you start having higher objectives behind that which you do, you will find sweetness in that which you do. A lot of people are depressed about their jobs, depressed about going to school, depressed about so many things, right? And if you raise your objective and make your objective Allah, you will see that you will find yourself in that which you do as a person who gives rather than a person who takes. If you go to work for the sake of Allah, that Ya Allah, I want to help more people, this becomes sweeter to you. And I just read an article the other day that human beings are far happier, that endorphins are released in the brain when they help other people. They actually, it's a physical reaction to you helping people. You physically become happier, the physical attribute that they've discovered that this body possesses, when you are in the service of somebody else. It's far more exciting than making a profit for yourself. Subhanallah. Of being of service to yourself. It's far more exciting to be, you know, in the service of somebody else than to be in the service of yourself. And this is how we make everything a form of, you know, being a service towards somebody else. If we raise the objective and make it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even your education. If you study because you need the degree, it comes with its baggage. But if you study so that you can represent the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now you're a giver. You're in the paradigm of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And because you're giving, you'll enjoy the process of studying far greater. As I said, all these traits we discussed, this question is coming about from our discussion of sincerity, that the Muhajirun were sincere. I said each thing that we discuss needs an hour to 2 hours of lecturing just to do, you know, 2 or 3% of the topic. But I'm touching on it, mashallah, because of all the young people in the audience. Perhaps you may take inspiration, and even the parents, that you could teach your children like this. And for those people who are looking sad because you're about 50 years old and you're thinking, I didn't build Jannah for 50 years because I didn't learn about this point, don't be sad. Smile. Why? Because you're still breathing, alhamdulillah. And everyone who is breathing has a chance to turn back to Allah and redeem their past. Allah can give us 50 years of our life as if we spent those years in His service, for His sake. Allah is upon all able. So rather, don't be sad. Tonight, when you make your dua, ask Allah, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Him first for bringing Sajid Umar to Malaysia to tell you this. May Allah bless us all. I'm sharing a light moment with you because you are looking sad. When you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the message that you heard, because Allah wanted you to hear it, and thank Allah for inspiring you to be here in the session that you heard this lesson from. And then seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and ask Allah to give you your entire life from the day you were born as if you lived that life for His sake, and have good hope in Allah that He will just do that. And from now on, change your paradigms, change your intentions, and make things better, inshallah. So this is question number one. The next question is, you spoke about patience. Can you expand on this for us? Subhanallah, how can I do that? How can I do that in our series right now? Maybe Masjid Umar needs to give me more lectures dedicated to these topics. Patience, my dear brothers and sisters, was a virtue and a quality that the Muhajirun had. And wallahi, you need to have patience to do the hijrah. You need to have patience to leave your families, to leave your home, to leave your memories. You know, it's hard to leave our memories. Today people have this, you know, they're very sensitive and they have nostalgia. you know, and they attach themselves to things. Some people, subhanAllah, they can't change the sofas in their sitting room, which is 30 years old. Why? Because if it goes, I'll feel sad. That's how people are. And the Muhajirun had to leave all their childhood memories, right? Had to leave all this financial standing, material well-being, the security of Mecca, to go to a place that they didn't know. Wallahi, you need patience. You need patience. You need to suppress the emotions that you feel. Suppress, you know, whatever you're feeling, the sadness that you feel, and you need to get on with it. Why? Because it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the scholars say patience is of three types. Patience is of three types. Number one, to be patient upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be patient because shaitan is always telling you to do something else. Your nafs is always telling you to do something else. So you need to be patient to remain upon the commands. You say, no, it's salah time, I'm going to switch off the TV, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to pay zakah, I love my money, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be patient to remain upon the command. Yes, it's hard, but I'm still going to do it. That's patience. The next patience is to be patient in staying away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to stay away from. To stay away from sins, you need patience. You need patience, right? It's not easy to stay away from sins. As somebody told me yesterday, they said, Sheikh, you told us yesterday that staying away from halal is harder. I find it harder to stay away from haram. Allahumma musta'an. Firstly, I thank the brother for being honest. He was honest, right? And I'm sure most of us feel like this. But inshallah, with Ramadan, we'll better ourselves. The reality is, halal is more beloved to us than haram, or it should be like that, right? And more hated to us should be haram, so it should be easier for us to stay away from. But the point is, you have to be patient. You have to be patient to stay away from that which your desires want. You have to be patient to stay away from that which shaitan calls you to. You have to be patient to make sure you wake up for Fajr and you don't sleep, right? Because you don't want to disobey Allah. This is the type of patience. The third type of patience is patience when the calamity strikes. When Allah sends upon you a calamity, there's a death in the family, there's a sickness, there's something you didn't want to happen which happened. You remain patient and you don't lose your Islam. You don't lose your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That requires patience. Whereby something shockingly happened, but you never utter a word of disbelief. You don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need patience to control yourself. Because at that moment, shaitan is attacking you. Your body, your nafs wants to do something else. It wants to give up. But you remain patient and you remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can understand why the hijrah needs it. It needed patience. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised it as a trait from the muhajirun. I've spent some time answering these questions, but I think it's important in terms of seerah in the 21st century, because we're taking inspirations from the past and we are trying to benefit from these inspirations today. So yesterday we discussed four traits of the muhajirun. They were sincere, number one. Number two, they were patient. Number three, they were truthful. Number four, they struggled for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens when you're patient, that you're willing to beat yourself for the sake of Allah. You're willing to beat shaitan for the sake of Allah. And Allah praise the muhajirun for this. Remember, we're discussing these virtues so you can spend Ramadan asking Allah for these qualities. And you can spend Ramadan auditing yourself and asking yourself, how close or how far am I from these qualities in my life? How patient am I? How truthful am I? Allah loves the muhajirun, and this is what He loves about them. Right? How patient am I? Do I get angry quickly? Ramadan, people need patience, right? In Malaysia, they don't, mashallah. Malaysia, all patient people, mashallah. Everybody's relaxed here, walillahi alhamd. We spoke about this last year. Everybody's calm, walillahi alhamd. This region is ajeeb, meaning it's strange in a good way. Everybody's calm. Sometimes it's not a good way because you're too calm. Sometimes we need action, right? But you need... You got to ask yourself, how patient am I? How much do I struggle for the sake of Allah? Or how much do I just give up? How many times do I fight my desire to sleep at the time of Fajr? How quick am I in paying my zakah? How worried am I about the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We talk about struggling for the sake of Allah, right? This was the muhajirun. We know our Muslim brothers and sisters that are homeless around the world. They're refugees in countries that don't want them, my dear brothers and sisters. How many of us are ready to struggle for the sake of Allah and be in their service with our dua, with our wealth, and with ourselves? Many of you, mashallah, have been telling me, excuse me, brothers and sisters. Many of you have been telling me about this video, mashallah, that seems to be going around of my visit to Calais, France, where I met your fellow brother and sister, Brother Jamal and Sofini from Malaysia, who are staying with the refugees in Calais, France, subhanAllah, cooking 1,000 meals a day. They work 12 hours a day. And he's moved there with his children. And they, subhanAllah, they're there with so much happiness, wallahi. So much happiness. You know, I asked him, what about your children's education? He says, this jungle teaches them. It's their school. I said, what about yourselves? You know, yourselves, your own earning. He goes, wallahi, Allah looks after us here. Wallahi, he said, when I wash the dishes after cooking, my hands get clean. La ilaha illallah. Such happiness in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His paradigm, wallahi, this man is a legend and he's inspired me. His paradigm is a different paradigm. You know, when he was speaking, I was thinking of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah when they threw him into prison. He said, what can my enemies do to me by throwing me here? Because my Allah is with me. The Quran is in his heart. He goes, if they expel me, it's tourism for me. It's going to see other lands. This is the paradigm of a believer, a servant of Allah, and a child of Adam. It's not the paradigm of the person who thinks they're going to live on earth forever. It's the paradigm of a person who knows that we are on a journey to Allah on earth. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبَ وَعَابِرُ سَبِيلٍ Be on earth as if you're a strange person. A strange person in a new community, you're just passing through. Or you're a passerby. You're not going to be there forever, so you don't settle in that way. Right? But inshallah, we'll talk about Brother Jamal in another time, but I just wanted to attach this particular story because, you know, mashallah, you've all been discussing it and it ties down to this lesson of struggling for the sake of Allah, which was a quality from the Muhajirun. From the qualities of the Muhajirun was that they helped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They supported the cause of Allah and they supported the causes of Allah. They were always there where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, meaning they were where those things that made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy was happening. Just like Brother Jamal, as we discussed just now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, in chapter 59, verse number 8, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. We discussed this ayah before, but the point of note in this ayah is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ that they are those who help Allah and help His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, one famous scholar of Islam, he said, the condition of achieving success and strength, the condition of achieving success and strength is helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how can a believer actually go out helping Allah? He says a believer does this when one worships Allah alone without either outwardly or inwardly associating partners with Allah in worship. When Allah is more beloved to him than his own self. When Allah is more beloved to him than all those who are beloved to him. When Allah is more beloved to him than his desires. This is when you truly become a supporter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and this quality. Ameen. From the praiseworthy virtues of the Muhajirun was that they placed their trust in Allah. They placed their trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. We discussed this ayah yesterday, chapter 16, verse 41 to 42. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people that Allah has built homes for in Jannah, who are they? Allah says they are those who remain patient and they put their trust in Allah. They had tawakkul. And this is from the qualities of the Muhajirun, that they placed their trust in Allah. They had tawakkul. They had tawakkul. And many of us ask, what is tawakkul? Tawakkul is a big discussion, as the other topics that we've had. But if we can simply put it, tawakkul is being able to give your money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that if you have to eat from that money, Allah will bring it back to you. That is tawakkul. This is just an example. There's many examples I can share, but I'm trying to share an apt, appropriate example. Tawakkul is not putting your trust in your degree, not putting your trust in your parents, not putting your trust in your business, not putting your trust in your skills and education, not putting your trust in your community or your financial standing or your material well-being. Tawakkul is putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings and the one who is in control of everything. That is tawakkul, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah grant us tawakkul. Ameen. From the traits of the muhajirun is that they had good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of circumstance, they always had good hope in Allah. Their motto was, Allah knows best. Their motto was, whatever Allah does, He does good. This was their motto, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever Allah does, He does good. They never took any situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon them in a negative way. They never used any situation to complain about Allah. No, rather, they used every situation to worship Allah in a different way than before. Wallahi, this is true. That's what a believer does. A believer looks for the opportunity of worship in all circumstances. When Allah gives him, he worships Allah by thanking Allah. When Allah doesn't give him, he worships Allah by being patient. This is the quality of the muhajirun, and Allah loved it. And that is why, and now in Ramadan, it's appropriate for us to say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That the one who fasts the month of Ramadan and the one who stands the nights of Ramadan إيمانا, believing in Allah and the reward that Allah has promised, واحتسابا, and having good hope in Allah that Allah will give them His promise. Look at this, واحتسابا. To have good hope in Allah. Two conditions. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Then your previous sins will be forgiven. Having good hope in Allah is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship, my dear brothers and sisters. This concept of having good hope. And that is why, and Allah knows best, one of the reasons why Allah has kept, pay attention to this, one of the reasons why Allah has kept our knowledge of His happiness hidden after we worship Him is so that we can worship Him again by having good hope in Allah that He's accepted our ibadah. Subhanallah. Have you ever thought of this, my dear brothers and sisters? Imagine if Allah told you after every ibadah, right, this is accepted, this is not accepted, this is 50% good, this is 20% good, this is not accepted, this is rejected. What would happen? We'd probably worship Allah with a scorecard. Isn't it? That okay, I got 5 days accepted deeds, now 2 days I can sleep, I can have holiday. Right? So, perhaps this is one wisdom, because Allah knows us better than we know ourselves, so He doesn't tell us whether He's accepted it. But another wisdom, why He doesn't tell us why he's accepted our deeds, is so we can worship Him again, with the worship known as Husnul Dhan, having good hope in Allah. That I prayed my salah, Allah will reward me, and I have good hope that Allah will accept it, so Allah will reward me again. Does that make sense? Right? So the muhajirun, they had good hope in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in ayah 218, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أولئك يرجون رحمة الله والله غفور رحيم. Allah says, verily those who have believed and those who migrated for the sake of Allah and they strive in the path of Allah and they have good hope in Allah's mercy that Allah will accept their striving. Allah says, and Allah is the oft forgiving, the most merciful. So this is from the qualities of the muhajirun. Also from the qualities of the muhajirun, we've discussed so many, mashallah, is that they were strong upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the qualities of the muhajirun was that they did something because it was a sunnah. They never left something because it was a sunnah, like many of us do today. We say, akhi, it's only a sunnah. Don't worry, don't stress. No, my dear brothers and sisters. They looked after the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because they know that he was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they wanted to worship Allah exactly how Allah wanted to be worshipped. They wanted to live on earth exactly how Allah wanted them to live on earth. They didn't want to live on earth like how they wanted to live on earth, or worship Allah like how they wanted to worship. So they were strict upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? So they were always attached to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul, and they were upon it always. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter number 9, in ayah number 117, Allah says, لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة من بعد ما كاد يزيغ قلوب فريق منهم ثم تاب عليهم إنه بهم رؤوف رحيم. Allah says, Allah has forgiven the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the muhajirun, the migrators, and the Ansar, the Muslims of Medina, who followed him, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the very difficult time. That difficult time is the battle of Tabuk. Inshallah, we'll discuss that during this Medina period in terms of our study. Allah says, after the hearts of a party of them had nearly deviated from the right path, but he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted their repentance, and certainly he is unto them full of kindness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll discuss this ayah in more detail when we discuss the expedition of Tabuk. It was a mighty expedition. But subhanallah, Allah tells us that what saved the Sahaba that day was their love to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a very hot day, and they didn't have water, and their food was few. But you know what they did? As the scholars of Seerah teach us, what did they do? They took one date and they would suck on the date and give it to the next companion. They would only taste from the sugars and the sweetness of the date and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being selfless, because they knew this was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though they were dehydrated, even though they were hungry, they only sucked the date and gave it to the next person. Even though their bellies, their desires, their self, shaitan, everything was saying, eat that date, they were upon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was that piety and love for the sunnah and love for that which Allah loves that Allah showered upon them an opening. Inshallah, we'll discuss this when we discuss the battle of Tabuk. And Allah says in His book, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Subhanallah. Allah says, tell them, O Muhammad, that if they indeed love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then they should follow you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should follow your sunnah. They should love your sunnah. And only when they do so, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, then Allah will love them. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah will forgive their sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and indeed Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. From the virtues of the muhajirun is that they were the first to accept Islam. Which means everyone after them who is inspired by them, they get the rewards of all those who are inspired by them. This is a mighty virtue, Wallahi. This is a mighty virtue. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets the rewards of every Muslim that walks the face of this earth. Because he came with the initial da'wah. And that's why he will be the first to enter Jannah, alhamdulillah. Right? Because he has masses of rewards that nobody will have after him. And then we have the muhajirun, the first Muslims who inspire me and you today. We are inspired by them. And our acts of worship are a form of sadaqatul jariyah for them. This is a great virtue of the muhajirun that other people cannot enjoy. Right? So this is from the virtues of the muhajirun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to us in His book in many a place. From them, chapter 9, verse number 100. And if my memory serves me right, we actually ended last season with this particular ayah, with this particular ayah. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, from the virtues of the Muhajirun is that Allah has described them as being the people of ultimate success. Ultimate success. Meaning everybody else after them experiences success, but complete success or the success at the highest level is for the Muhajirun. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, in chapter number 9, verse number 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Allah says that they, the Muhajirun, they are al-fa'izun. The definite article is used. Allah didn't say they are successful. Allah said they are the ultimately successful. Because in the Arabic language, if you add an alif and a lam, which in the English language is equivalent to the, to a noun, right? To a noun, then it adds a completion to the meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't describe them as just successful. He described them as ultimately successful. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. So these are some of the virtues of the Muhajirun. And I can go on, wallahi, because the Quran is filled with more. But inshallah, I think we discussed 10, and 10 is a good round number. From these 10, inshallah, we have enough to ask Allah for, and we have enough to be inspired from, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannah with the Muhajirun and the Ansar and all those who followed the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in goodness. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, so that's the discussion related to the Muhajirun. The next discussion, my dear brothers and sisters, is the Hijrah. And alhamdulillah, we have about 7 minutes left. Walillahi alhamd. With regards to the Hijrah, there's a story behind it. And many of us perhaps are unaware of the Hijri calendar, of the Islamic calendar. And I'm discussing it because it has a relationship to the Hijrah, because it's based upon the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they reached a unanimous decision 16 years after Hijrah. In some reports, 17 years after Hijrah. In other reports, 18 years after Hijrah. And this was during the leadership of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. They reached a unanimous decision to make the Islamic calendar begin with the year in which the Hijrah occurred. And that was because a problem was brought to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, whereby somebody said, I have a contract with this man and he's supposed to pay me back in Sha'ban. So Umar said, which Sha'ban? The last Sha'ban, this Sha'ban, next Sha'ban, which Sha'ban are you talking about? So when this case happened, Umar said, or he decided to gather the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and this was a norm of Umar. He would make shura, and he learned this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in many cases when you read the history of Umar, you see the message or the statement that he gathered the Muhajirun and the Ansar. He would gather the Muhajirun and the Ansar and do shura and say, look, this is the situation that we have. What do you think we should do? Surely we need a calendar. So someone said, why don't you use the Persian calendar? But Umar didn't like that. So somebody said, why don't you use the Byzantine calendar? But Umar didn't like that either. Others suggested that we create our own dating system, and we started with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And someone else said, no, let's start it from the beginning of the Hijrah. Somebody else said, no, why don't you start it with his death? The scholars of Islam say that they didn't use the birth date because it was disputed. Number one. Number two, they didn't use the death date because they didn't want to become sad every year when the year renews itself upon the death date of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they settled upon using the completion, the year the Hijrah was completed. The year the Hijrah was completed, and that became the first year, and that's why we say the first year after Hijrah, the second year after Hijrah, the third year after Hijrah, because as we said earlier, the Hijrah was a mighty occurrence, right, in the life of the Muslims and in the history of Islam, that nobody will be unaware of this occurrence, number one, and number two, when it happened. Right, so there'll be no dispute regarding the dating system. So they agreed to base the Hijrah calendar upon, or to base the Islamic calendar upon the Hijrah. With regards to Muharram, why is Muharram the first month in the Islamic calendar? Then the scholars say that they decided to take into account when the mission of the Hijrah began. And the reality was, there was shura and there was dua and so on and so forth about Hijrah during Dhul Hijjah. During Dhul Hijjah, and the month that came after Dhul Hijjah was Muharram, when things were now getting serious about migrating to Medina. And we discussed last year about the meeting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with those who came for Hajj, that marked and instigated this transference from, or this idea of transferring from Mecca to Medina. So this is the story, my dear brothers and sisters, with regards to the Hijrah, and with that, or with regards to the Islamic calendar and its relationship to the Hijrah. Time flies, wallahi, when you're having fun. But our time has come to an end. Inshallah, tomorrow when we get together, we'll discuss the Makki Madani phenomenon, and inshallah we will also then discuss the first steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our first fast, ameen, and bless us with amazing fasts to come, and accept our Ramadan, and accept our standing, and accept our dua and our recitation of the Quran, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, remember me and my family in your dua as well. I love you all for the sake of Allah. See you tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.